Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Miss fans know the number one stop for Golden Eagle apparel is Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Baseball, basketball, football, Campus Bookmart has it covered with clothing to fit the young and old, big and small Golden Eagle in your family. You can visit the store on Hardy Street, shop online at campusbookmart.net, or call in your order and have it mailed to your front door. However you choose to buy, always visit Campus Bookmart first. You won't be sorry. Campus Bookmart and Southern Miss, to the top.
Free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. New week of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We're glad you're with us. Bob, Kelly, and Luke, we're back together again, and we're all in the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg and Laurel. Glad you're with us. It's Monday. That means we pay a visit to our good friend, Coach Christian Ostrander, head coach of the Southern Miss Golden Eagles. Opening segment sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Great place to buy good food 7 days a week. Great place to cater your next baseball weekend. I guarantee you, you'll be happy if you use Dickies. All right, Golden Eagles, great, good week. 3-1 on the week. They win a thriller, midweek thriller against Nichols. 10-run Louisiana Monroe Friday and Saturday, and then dropped the game yesterday afternoon. Coach Christian Ostrander joins us. And Coach, before we get into any specifics about any specific game, your thoughts, 3-1 week, but I know you're disappointed in the results yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was good to bounce back, you know, with the 3 games in a row after Sunday, you know, win Tuesday, win Friday, win Saturday. So you want to finish the deal, and, you know, for so many reasons, you know, not just because every game's important, but conference game. And you know, not a lot of folks think you should just walk out there and sweep them, you know, because it's Monroe or the name. But you know, it's just not the way it works. You got to go play well and earn it. And I thought we played really good for 6 innings, and then, you know, it just kind of gave them a little momentum, and that was all it took.
Yeah, no lead's ever safe in college baseball. Fair to say.
No doubt. It's, you know, you got to finish the game, and you know, you got to get 27 outs. You know, it's not going to end before that.
All right, let's go back to Tuesday night, Coach, because you did make some changes in rotation of pitching staffs, and we saw some different kids in different positions. And one that jumped out at me when I was watching from afar Tuesday night was Nico Mazza coming in relief against the Nichols State team. And he and J.B. Middleton pitched very, very well. Nico looked really good in the relief spot.
Yeah, I thought he did great. You know, it was that Saturday after his start in Georgia. You know, I just told him, be ready. I want you to pitch on Tuesday. I want you to get back out there. And he embraced it and great for it. And, you know, and helped us win a game for sure. So, yeah. You know, I was really proud to see that.
So, Coach, that was more of a matter of you wanting to get him back on the mound after the bad experience he had in the previous weekend. Did I understand that?
I think so. I mean, we could have opted to have just what we call our midweek bullpen on that day, or he can get out there and compete and help us win a game, and you know, in real time stuff. And if I was willing, you know, okay with moving him around a little bit on the weekend, which I was. So it, you know, yeah, I thought there was multiple reasons to do that.
Yeah. All right, in your 14-3 win Friday night, you moved Billy Odom from Saturday to your Friday night starter, and man, does he respond. He throws a complete game and just does a great job on the mound for you.
He did. He pitched really well. You know, I think he could have – I think that line could have been even better, and he would probably tell you the same thing. You know, the 2 hits he gave up, you know, were both doubles after a leadoff walk, and so 2-run score there. And, you know, but he would probably – you know, because he's very stingy and critical of himself, and, you know, as I am too, but – but boy, he did. He was very, I don't know, he just did a great job of keeping them off balance and doing kind of what he does well.
Yeah, he's I think a really, really solid pitcher. Will Armistead on Saturday, another 10-run win for you. He comes out of the bullpen, who had been starting some during the course of the year, and he looked good as a relief pitcher, Coach.
Yeah, he did. He did. Will threw the ball really well, competed well. He's been throwing the ball well all year. He's had his ups and downs, you know, here and there, just like any pitcher we have. But for the most part, it's been really good. So it was a good performance out of the pen, kind of how we wanted it to see it, you know, kind of give him the ball into the game and see how far he could go, and was proud of what he did for sure.
And, Coach, did Tucker Stockman seal his spot as your starting catcher over the weekend?
It kind of appears that way. He's doing a fine job behind the plate, and as well as, you know, offensively, he's a threat. So, I feel good about where Tucker is, and I think he's kind of, you know, earned that opportunity. And not that the other guys won't be able, you know, we can't run under death, Joe. But, as long as he's capable and fresh enough to go, I'm sure he'll be back there for a little while.
And, Coach, this may not surprise you, but he told me yesterday afternoon after the game that that being around the two catchers that you had last year, Montenegro in particular, he talked about, said he learned so much from those guys, and that he tries to he's trying to be his own man, but perform the way those kids did. Does that surprise you in any way?
Well, that's how it should be. You know, you hope your elder players, your seniors and stuff, you know, embrace the freshman that comes in and teach him something, you know, whether it's just, you know, how to do, whether it's physical, mechanical with, you know, a swing or a position or a pitch or just, you know, the mentality part of it. So I'm glad to hear that. That's what I hope all of our elder players do when these young guys come in.
Yeah, and then yesterday, even in the 5-1 loss, Nico Mazza, he goes 6 shutout innings before he allowed a wild pitch and then a hit batter before you took him out. But he seemed to have bounced back and pitched well this week.
He looked great. Yeah, I mean, that was 8 innings of really good stuff. And sometimes, you know, you got to hit, you know, get hit in the mouth a little bit to respond. And I think Nico's responded well. So hopefully he'll continue to give us a chance every time he gets on that mound.
So, Coach, going into this weekend, do you look to do the same thing to pitch Billy Odom on Friday night and Mazza on Sunday?
You know, we got to look at it and just kind of and see, you know, what's the best, course of action with it, whether it's, doing the same type thing we did or whatever. So, really, I'm going to get through tomorrow and then kind of decide just, you know, on everything and go from there. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's similar.
Okay, before we get the guys involved here, just your thoughts of where we are at this point of the season as we begin to head down the stretch, so to speak.
Well, obviously, I wish we were, further along in some areas. I wish the record was further. I wish the conference record was further along. But maybe we're where we're supposed to be. I don't know. I just think this team still has yet to learn how to, you know, really go finish a weekend off. And I don't know if that's an experience thing, you know, leadership thing internally or whatnot, but it's not effort. They're trying their hardest, I promise you that. I don't question that at all. It's just being able to, you know, to finish some of those things. But we're in a position to strike. I mean, we're in a position to, you know, of course we want to try to win the Sun Belt and stuff, but if you can put yourself in position to finish in that top 3 or 4, that speaks volumes. And so that's our goal, is to win every game that we can and get ready to, you know, I know it's going to be some tough games coming up on the road and at home, and the next, you know, 15 games we have, whatever, you're going to have to go earn it.
I've sort of observed that every game's tough, Coach, in the Sun Belt Baseball League.
It is. You any team can beat you anytime.
No question. Luke, get in here with Coach Oz.
Coach, let's go back to Will Armistead for just a moment. Do you feel like allowing him to do what he did last year, come out of the pen, and he threw actually more than Colby did on Saturday. You think he's more comfortable in that role?
You know, it's hard to say. You know, I mean, I've seen him both ways. I've seen him look amazing, you know, with the ball in his hand starting. This year he's looked amazing starting. Last year, I mean, think about the game against App State in the conference tournament, you know. So, and we've seen him look great coming out of the pen a bunch last year and stuff. So it's hard to say. I think he is comfortable, I think, because he has done it. So I think it was I kind of like that option there of kind of looking at, you know, who do I want to start and knowing I can get the ball off to him. So it was very comforting to know he was there.
And while we're talking about that, I mean, just talk about Colby. Gave you a good start and allowed you, you know, to hand it off to Will. And, you know, without showing cards, I mean, do you think there'll be guys that can make some spot starts like that? As you still seems like, you know, a lot of things are in flux here other outside of Billy and Nico.
I think so. And, you know, and I think, yeah, it's still – there's still more coming, you know, that we got to figure out. I know that, and so forth. So yeah, I think, you know, figuring out some role, you know, who fits better where and stuff. It's a chess match right now with that, and trying to, you know, push the right buttons and put them in the right places. But that's a job of a coach to, you want to put your guys in the best position possible to be successful. So, you know, we'll continue to look at that and, you know, come up, you know, with the plan, and hopefully it executes well.
All right, we'll continue our conversation with baseball coach Christian Ostrander on the other side of the break. I want to remind you, we're going to be in Laurel tomorrow, broadcasting during the Economic Development Remote in downtown Laurel. We're at Genesis of Hattiesburg on Wednesday. We're at Ramey Motors in Purvis on Friday. It is a busy week for the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Busy week as well for Southern Miss baseball, and we'll talk more about that right on the other side of this break.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top.
Campus Bookmart sponsors this segment of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We're glad they do. We love Miss Kathleen. Best selection of Southern Miss apparel you'll find anywhere on the planet. They're on Hardy Street. You can also shop them online at campusbookmart.net. Let's get back to it. Kelly, fire away at Coach Oz.
Coach, I want to ask you how you're handling Nico Mazza as far as you know, a couple of appearances last week. Is it on a pitch count? Is it on appearances? And is that, will that formula be the way that all the other guys are managed on the staff?
No, I don't think so. I think it was unique. When you have a short start, you know, 2 weekends ago where you didn't have a very laborsome, you know, outing, you can bounce back in a couple of days a lot easier. So I think that was unique. I'm not saying I won't do that if the opportunity presents itself again. But I think it was more to do with not throwing as many pitches in a short outing to get him back out there, because I knew he could. So
I get asked this question a lot, and you're a heck of a lot smarter than I am when it comes to baseball. But I compare baseball sometimes to golf, how a golfer can go out one day and shoot 6 under, and the next day on the very same course shoot 10 over. And when you take a look at your team on Friday and Saturday, you know, clicking on every, and then Sunday not. Near as well as Friday. Is there any way you can explain how teams can go, you know, can be that way?
Well, that other team was really trying to beat us too. I mean, you know, they're throwing their best bullets that they didn't have to use some of their best bullpen pieces in the first two games because they were more blowouts. Double-edged sword there, you know. I mean,
yeah.
That's a great thing, and then whatever. So, and I thought they pitched really well. And shuffled around, and so I thought they did a great job. They earned that. And then two, I thought we hit a lot of balls hard that, you know, didn't fall, didn't go our way, didn't, you know, whatever. I mean, it's just kind of baseball. I mean, it's a hard game. It's not a bigger, faster, stronger, you know, game that always going to prevail. You got to do a lot of things right, and you know, so it's it can be very humbling, obviously.
Yeah, and numbers-wise, you can have a really good at-bat. You can barrel something up and just hit it, and then you'll get a little Texas leaguer in the box score. Right. The guy gets credit for the Texas leaguer, but the other guy doesn't get credit for the line shot that gets caught.
Here's a great example of that, Coach. Late in that game yesterday, you had runners at second and third, and Billy Butler hit what? I mean, he tacked it into center field, and the kid makes a spectacular catch. Or otherwise, it's a one-run game, and Butler standing on second base.
100%. You know, and I think about, you know, Ozzie Pratt had a couple right on the screws, you know, that just line out the center, line out the short. I mean, you know, so the ball didn't find the holes for us. And sometimes you can control it, sometimes you can't. And that's just the way it goes.
Now, speaking of Ozzie Pratt, I was talking to him after the game yesterday, and I asked him about Dalton McIntyre. And here's what he said to me, Coach. He kind of smiled, and he says, well, I'm on him every day. I'm telling him to man up and get back in the lineup. So what looks like the future for Dalton McIntyre?
Well, you know, we got to let the doctors make some decisions with that. I know tomorrow's a big appointment, you know, to, you know, find out some more direction and get it reevaluated and see where he's at and how he feels. So, you know, it's still day-to-day or week-to-week, whatever you want to call it. I wish I knew. I wish I knew that, hey, he's going to be back on this date. But that's not reality. But he seems to be feeling better each day, you know, and that's important. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's something that we're just taking. We all look forward to tomorrow's visit with the doctor and just seeing what they say after that.
Probably little chance, though, you'd put him back out tomorrow night. Is that correct?
Yeah, probably no chance.
Yeah, probably no chance. Well, meanwhile, Slade Wilks, in the game I got back in time to see yesterday, I mean, he looks like a stud out there in right field. Big arm. Slade's really playing well for you.
He did. I was proud of him getting out there, and you know, and I'm sure he feels like he's kind of out of jail, you know, getting to get out there and play. And you know, but he looked good. He made a big throw. Obviously, we all saw that. But you know, played well all weekend, so I'm happy for him. And you know, I feel like he's moving around pretty good out there.
Yeah, Luke.
Coach, let's talk a little. We're going to have Tommy Lofton from Camp Shelby on later in the hour. But how special was that to be a part of something historic, not just in South Mississippi, but you're talking about the baseball team at Camp Shelby during World War II and Southern Miss being able to work with Camp Shelby, something historic yesterday?
It was really neat, man. I'm very honored and humbled to be included in that and this program and everything, you know. So it's you know, the when this started up, when it got brought up and sitting down with Tommy and Mr. Prine and about the possibilities of this and what it looked like and the story, and I was like, man, this is cool, you know, this is something we need to do, and all parties agreed, and we just kind of got it to where it was. So it's been neat for me to just really see how much, you know, I know how important Camp Shelby is and the impact of it here in this community and so forth. But, man, it reaches a lot deeper than I even realized. I mean, very, very impactful, and it means a lot to a lot of people. A lot of people say, yeah, my grandfather or my great-grandfather or monk, you know, was, you know. So it's really neat to be able to honor our troops and our servicemen and Camp Shelby and everything included.
I mean, I'm a USM homer, but I really think it's one of the best baseball uniforms that obviously this school's ever done, but it caught a lot of attention around the country. I know you're excited to see that. All right, last baseball question for me. What is, because you talked about, and Kelly hinted at it some, just there is some macro and micro inconsistency with this team. It happens in games. It happens across series. When you're kind of waiting to get over a hurdle, because I think we're like 1-for-5, you know, this season so far with series. I mean, when you're just waiting to get over, and you said, you know, this team's ready to strike. What's going to be your message to your team? Because everybody, you know, sees that inside the team, outside the team. How do you communicate and help them get over that hurdle?
You know, to me, you just keep trying to lead them and challenge them and you know, invoke things and pull out things. And that's kind of the part to me that, you know, that it is a little frustrating. You know, at this point, this group should be you know, should be really taking the bull by the horn with some things. And not that, like I said, it's not that they're not trying. It's just the fact that, you know, why can't we get over that? Are we not good enough? Is it, you know, is it leadership? What is it? We got to figure that out. But, you know, I just think, you know, that's just, we haven't gone out there and done it. And, you know, to the consistency that we've been accustomed to over the years and so forth. I think this team has the capability, but, you know, they got to man up and take ownership of it individually and collectively. And, you know, that's what I want them to be the leaders of that and internal leadership.
Well, Coach, it's not going to get any easier this week. You've got a trip to Tulane. That's never easy. And then you go to Lafayette to take on the league-leading Ragin' Cajuns for three games. Your thoughts about the next four ball games?
Just like every ball game we've played thus far, I mean, you better play well. And, you know, and stuff. So it's not about who we're playing. It's about the game we're playing and going out there and trying to, you know, put it all together and just, you know, go out there and compete for 27 outs and so forth. Again, the name and the where should be irrelevant, in my opinion. You're never playing up or down to an opponent. And you just got to go out there and just try to play good baseball. And that's our message. It's been a message for these first 40 games, and it will be throughout the remainder of our games.
But the Cajun games, it seems to me, just from a league standpoint, you know, where you're sitting now, I know it's all games are important, but these three this next weekend, really big either way because of the seeding situation. And they're the number one team in the league. So any win you come up against them, you're gaining two from the field, making it a little bit bigger, it seems to me.
No doubt. It's going to be a great weekend, and look forward to it. But first, we got to focus on tomorrow.
Sure.
Yeah, no question. All right, Coach, any message you got here for the fan base before we let you go this week?
Yeah, appreciate them coming out and supporting these guys this past week. It was great energy, and look forward to seeing them again the next week when we're back home, and just keep, you know, supporting these young men, and they're going to go out there and give you the best.
All right, Coach, good luck down in Louisiana. You're going to spend an entire week down in Cajun country, so hope you get four wins and some good seafood gumbo while you're down there.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, Coach, we just want to make sure Danny Lynch is making the trip to Lafayette, correct?
Oh, yeah, he can't wait.
Good deal.
And the good thing about going to Lafayette
thanks,
is
Coach,
even if you are being chewed out, half the time you can't understand what they're saying. So.
No, that's exactly. I think I just told you in the 8-9 days my wife were gone, the sweetest thing I heard was that Cajun accent and the guy that picked us up from the airport Friday night.
So you prefer the Louisiana folks to the Colorado folks?
Pretty clearly, yes. Okay. And in 9 days, the best meal I had was the meal I ate in New Orleans before I left.
Gotcha.
If that answers your question.
Yes.
All right. Town & Country Cleaners. Town & Country Cleaners, Hattiesburg's most trusted dry cleaners, family owned and operated since 1983, offering services like steam pressing, shirt laundry, bulky bedding, minor alterations, and, of course, dry cleaning. You can visit Town & Country Cleaners at their convenient location across from USM on Hardy Street. You can call them at 601-264-4920. Tommy Lofton joins us. We're going to be talking about those Camp Shelby uniforms. We're going to be at Camp Shelby next month, and always glad to have Tommy in the studio. Stay with us.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right. We want to thank Coach Oz as we always enjoy our Monday conversations with him. And he's always there, and we're grateful to him for that. Coach Christian Ostrander on the show every Monday. Travis Creel will join us Wednesday as we'll get an update from the Tuesday night Tulane game. This segment is sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill. Great place to take your family for a good meal, really, and a great place to go watch a ball game, have a cold PBR, and just enjoy the Southern Miss atmosphere. 4th Street Bar and Grill right there in the shadow of the Rock. Tommy Lofton is the man who oversees the magnificent Mississippi Armed Forces Museum. And if you haven't been there, then you're losing out. It is really an incredible facility at Camp Shelby. And Tommy, always good to have you here.
I'm glad to be here, and thanks for letting me get on some airtime a little bit.
Super Talk loves its relationship with you and the museum and Camp Shelby. We'll be down there next month, and looking forward to that. All right, so yesterday at the ball game, and Luca, I think, is right, one of the coolest baseball uniforms I have seen in a long, long time were the Camp Shelby uniforms. Tell us the genesis of the Camp Shelby baseball team and how everything we saw yesterday came to be.
Sure. So, in the 1940s, Southern Miss, a lot of other schools were canceling their baseball program and even football programs and things because guys were having to go fight in the war.
But back then it was Mississippi Normal.
Well, true.
Still,
true.
Or Mississippi Southern College. Or,
right. Okay. And so there's a lot of that happening at the time. At the same time, when you have such a large influx, with Camp Shelby being one of the top one or two in size of training sites in the United States as far as, you know, population and number of soldiers coming through, you have a lot of people who occasionally need some downtime because they're being trained to go to foreign countries and do crazy things and, you know, potentially kill people and survive and do all these kinds of things. They need some downtime. They need some morale boost. Baseball being America's pastime, which I know you got NASCAR, everything else today too. I still say baseball is America's pastime. That was a huge thing. They started forming all these teams and different units, and so you had each division field several different teams, and they would play other divisions, and even the 442nd, the Japanese Americans, had teams here when their unit formed at Camp Shelby. So they had their own sort of interleague at Shelby that folks from the Hattiesburg and surrounding areas, from even all the way to the coast, would come and watch the games. But they also, it's my understanding, formed an all-star team. And a lot of the guys, they pulled from those teams that were your sort of top-tier players, but especially those that were already Major League Baseball players or in the pro or semi-pro circuit, even before the war, some of which got drafted or volunteered to serve. And we can think, you know, nationally about a lot of other, you know, Bob Feller. He was obviously a Major League Baseball player, ended up being a Hall of Famer, serving on the USS Alabama in wartime. You got Joe DiMaggio, you know, all these big names. Not all of them came through Shelby, mind you, but you have a lot of big-time fans in this area of some of these guys already professionally, and here they are right here at Camp Shelby. And so they formed this team. They would come and play at Camper Park. They'd play in areas around Hattiesburg. They would pull in teams from, like, Keesler Air Force Base or from New Orleans or Camp Van Dorn, Camp McCain, from Meridian, all these other places. And they would actually travel the state. I even found a few references in old newspapers where this Camp Shelby team went up to Vicksburg and played an exhibition game there, I think, one or two times in 1944 and in 45. And they would have 3,000 to 5,000 people show up to those. It was a great way for folks to take a couple of hours, watch baseball, and take their mind off the war. Whether they were in the military too, whether they were working in war industry, or, I mean, that's a time period when we had a lot of people in our own families in service. And you didn't get quick information or quick news from them. We didn't have cell phones and emails, so you didn't know what they were going through or even if they were alive on the other side of the world some days.
Right.
This was a chance to get away from that a few minutes and just have fun, you know, be Americans again.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really the genesis of how that entire thing happened. It was a team that still stuck together through 1946, at least. And then as Camp Shelby started to draw back down and become more of a National Guard mm-hmm. and state-owned facility, that kind of went away, and, you know, the military yeah. itself downsized. For us, you know, when I got here a few years ago as director, it was pretty cool to find that we had this baseball jersey, and it's been something I've been wanting to do for a long time, take this to Southern Miss, you know, my alma mater, and see them put this on the field.
Because you are a fan.
Oh, I'm definitely a fan,
you're
of course.
Definitely a big fan.
So for me as a fan, it was awesome to see that on the field yesterday, but then from the historian standpoint and from the museum as well, it was cool to be able to bring that back to Hattiesburg. And and Coach Oz and I even talked about this on the news the other day, and I mentioned it yesterday to some of the players. I said, you don't know, and I probably won't know, or it'll be a while, there could be some older folks in this crowd today watching this game that were kids watching the original team play 80 years ago out at Camper Park or somewhere else around.
But you mentioned the word cool. The original uniforms were anything but cool. Tom,
right? They were wool, thick wool, probably uncomfortable, I would imagine, especially when you consider, you know, wearing an undershirt at that time was not really a thing. But they still wore those.
Wool, nonetheless, in a Mississippi summer.
Right.
Well, here's how the word got out. I have a co-worker here with SuperTalk whose son was trained at Camp Shelby and is now in Germany, and he's reaching out to me to get him a Camp Shelby jersey.
That's
so
awesome.
the word got international.
Yeah, and Southern Miss is selling replicas of these jerseys, and you know, we were excited to bring this to them. And Mark Prine, the board president, and myself, we sat down and got the chance to sit down with Coach Oz and talk about this and see kind of what he thought about it too.
He liked it, didn't he?
Oh, he loved it. You know, it was great because the next thing I know, he makes a phone call and all these people descend in his office and they're measuring out the spacing of the letters, and I mean, he wants it to be as exact as possible to the original, and which I appreciate, you know, as a historian.
Is it a one-time thing? They're going to wear it that one time?
You know, we tried it out to see what would happen, and it was such a success. I think he and I both are talking about this happening again next year, and hopefully I'm wanting this to be a new tradition for Southern Miss, frankly.
Well, good.
And I think that is something that we're going to be seeing more and more.
Our man here, Luke, said it's the best baseball uniform he's seen the Golden Eagles wear. Is that right, Luke?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at the historical significance of it, and by the way, those big letters just look really good. Tommy, you have shown me some of the pictures from those teams in World War II, and the picture of the jersey, I mean, that the guys were standing around, that's one of the originals.
That is
correct. Did you have it at the museum?
Yeah, that's the only original right now that we have, and I really hope some folks maybe saw this and heard about this and will dig some out of their closets or something at some point. And I mean, we had contacted a few families, and then we started hearing through social media folks from Ohio and Kentucky and everything yesterday, even with photographs that they just had in their family members' photo albums from World War II. They snapped a photo of a game, and here's that Camp Shelby jersey, just like the one we have. Mm-hmm. I'll have to be sure and show it to y'all when y'all come next month.
Now, good stuff. And there were several notable players that came through and played, particularly the one that our listeners would recognize the most, Boo Ferris, who the best baseball player in Mississippi, the trophy's named after. He played some at Camp Shelby as well.
Yeah, that's my understanding, and there's quite a few others. You know, we had a little bit of research information, but I have to say Southern Miss actually stepped in and did even more, and we learned a lot from them in this process as well. And it was already exciting for us, but we got even more excited to see how excited Southern Miss was and how honored they were to wear this uniform.
Kelly, here's a name for you, okay, that it was long before I was born. Harry the Hat Walker, longtime manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Y'all were pretty good friends, weren't you, Kelly? You and Harry the Hat?
I've shared some Harry the Hat stories, you know.
he came through and played, but go ahead, Kelly.
Well, and I wonder, did any of the Camp Shelby guys ever play that Japanese team? I wonder.
Yes. I mean, it's my understanding, yes. The circuit itself was all these teams, and they all played against each other and would take the games around the state as well.
And, so, yeah. And kind of along a story along the lines of Harry the Hat, when the American team played the Japanese team, the American coach got together and said, "Now, guys, if you hit a home run, don't use the term bomb."
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
But not quite.
Kelly was so privy to those conversations.
Yes.
Pre-game.
So how can the general public get said jerseys?
If you and it's all over social media for sure, through Southern Miss, if you check, they actually had, I don't know if they're still discounted, I know they were yesterday, they have discounted adult and youth size jerseys that they're selling, just like the Parrot Head and a lot of the other USM jerseys. So if you go through Southern Miss, and I know that they had sign-up sheets the other day at the bookstore as well, was my understanding, and links too. So that is something we're glad so many folks are excited about as well.
But the thing that's important to know is these are not going to be unlimited.
Right.
I mean, there's going to be a certain number, and that's it.
You know, for now. Maybe these will continue to grow more and more. That's my hope. You know, it's such a unique thing. There are not many, if any, other college teams in the country that we've been able to find that are doing this kind of a throwback and tying it directly to a local military base or whatever else. So for us,
it more should know, be.
Oh, definitely. And for Camp Shelby, it's a huge honor that Southern Miss is even willing to partner with us and do this. And it was almost a Field of Dreams moment to kind of see that out there on the field for the first time after seeing all these 1940s black and white photos, to see the team out there. It was
super cool.
It was really, really cool for us.
All right, Tommy, 14th of next month, I believe. We're going to be out there along with some other programming from Super Talk. We always really like our time at the museum. And I got to say it again. If you haven't been to the Mississippi Armed Forces Museum at Camp Shelby, you're losing out.
Yeah,
and
it's free.
It's free and it gets better every year, doesn't it?
We work to try to increase and change things and keep folks coming back. Even if they've been 100 times, hopefully every experience will be something new.
And teach the younger people really the facts about what happened back then.
True. Kidding. Tommy Lofton, director of the Mississippi Armed Forces Museum, and the man behind what we saw yesterday at the
one of them
at the Pete. It was really cool, Tommy. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Big thanks to Tommy Lofton from the Mississippi Armed Forces Museum at Camp Shelby. If you have not been, it is free and it is excellent. Appreciate our good friend Tommy stopping by, giving us the historical story and background to those great jerseys yesterday. If you missed that interview or our weekly interview with baseball head coach Christian Ostrander, you can go back and listen to the Eagle Hour on demand, supertalk.fm, or in podcast form, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Audible, or you can ask Alexa to play the Supertalk Eagle Hour. We're live from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg, and Laurel, Luke, Bob, and Kelly. News and notes, a bunch of them over the weekend. Southern Miss Beach Volleyball goes 1-2 at the NOLA Classic down in New Orleans, defeating ULM but dropping matches to Cal Poly and Tulane. Softball had a great opportunity to upset Louisiana Friday night. Hannah Borden with another Borden bomb, but they fall and end up losing the series. Ladies fall to 20-23 overall. They will take on Ole Miss tomorrow night at 5 p.m. in Oxford. Track had a good weekend. 17 top 8 finishes at their track meet. On the men's side, Kelvin Chiku finished second in the 800 meters. Pierce Cameron finished third in the shot put. On the women's side, Elena Simon was second in the high jump. Jada McDougal was second in the 200 meters. Women's tennis in the first round of the Sun Belt Championship. They will take on this coming Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, take on Arkansas State. That match will be on ESPN+. Men's tennis over the weekend ends their season with a loss to Old Dominion in Rome, Georgia in the Sun Belt Tournament. They finished their season 7-11 and 3-5 in Sun Belt play. Golf currently in the Sun Belt Championship up in Annandale and Madison. Eagles right now tied for 11th, but they're only four strokes out of fourth. So the top three teams right now, Arkansas State, Marshall, and Troy, and then Eagles bunched up with several teams as they get ready for the next 3 days of competition. Sun Belt baseball over the weekend. Coastal Carolina takes 2 of 3 from Louisiana. Old Dominion takes 2 of 3 from Marshall. James Madison sweeps Georgia Southern. South Alabama takes 2 of 3 from Texas State down in San Marcos. Troy takes 2 of 3 from Georgia State. And this was kind of a weird series, guys. Appalachian State beats Arkansas State the first two games, but yesterday, after 10 innings, because it is travel day, they leave the game in a 12-12 official tie after the 10th inning. Standings in the Sun Belt currently, Louisiana at the top, 15-3. Coastal Carolina, Troy, and Southern Miss tied for second at 11-7, and a bunch of teams at 10-8 and 9-9. James Madison is the team making the most noise other than Coastal. The Chanticleers are 13th in RPI. James Madison now, guys, 23rd in the RPI, Louisiana at 43, Southern Miss at 50.
All right, we're going to have a lot of baseball all week long. We've got the interviews in store with Tucker Stockton, Carson Pato, Ozzie Pratt, Billy Odom. Great interview with Ozzie Pratt. Southern Miss fans are going to love what he says about being from Oxford.
Well, I'll tell you what's concerning, Bob. When you look at the schedule that Luke just went over, you talk about the teams at the top, Louisiana, Coastal. The Eagles still have to play those teams. And and the pitching staff, look, it's no secret. It's not 100%. And if you're going to play those teams, you'd almost rather play them early in the year when you've got your
You say it all the time to me, and this year has proven to be true, man. The intangible. You have all the talent in the world. You can have all the momentum, but the intangible is injuries. And this team has been hurt by injuries.
The best ability is availability. And the Eagles are suffering from that right now.
That makes a lot of sense. And hopefully you'll get McIntyre back for the weekend. It would be nice to get Seth Smith back on the field, but I haven't heard any word about it.
Well, the cast is off on Seth Smith, you know, so, I mean, he will be back, you would think, at some point, but I'm not so sure about how quickly Dalton McIntyre will be back.
Soon, I hope, Kelly.
Well, yeah, but again, you're getting ready to swim in some pretty deep water with a strong undercurrent, so.
Well, Ozzie Smith did say yesterday, I tell him every day, man up and get back in the lineup, but that probably doesn't help that dislocated shoulder, does it?
No, we used to be just rub dirt on it. You know, and
it's like a salt pill.
Magically disappeared.
All right, we're in your hometown tomorrow, Luke. Our annual economic development remote. Really looking forward to that. We'll have Daniel Stewart. We'll have some of these interviews, and we're going to have some guests from your hometown on the show tomorrow.
Yeah, it'll be fun being in City Beautiful. It's should be great weather as it is today. Wind blowing a little bit, and this was, I guess, yesterday was like winter's last stand. I know you were in Colorado, but it was really cool. But it looks like it's going to be upper 80s the rest of the week.
Yeah, well, let me tell you about Colorado weather. Beautiful weather. Beautiful weather the whole week we were out there. On Wednesday, it was about 65 degrees. And on Thursday, when we woke up, my wife says that you need to come look out the window. Snowing. 40 degrees. About 30, 35 degrees. Snowed the last 2 days we were there after being 60 the whole week.
Are you sure it was really snowing, or was this after you had some of those brownies out there? Colorado.
They'll come.
Okay.
Back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. I don't know why.
I've been known to see things.
I just don't know why I put up with it. Back tomorrow at 1 o'clock from Laurel. We're looking forward to it. We hope you'll join us. Thank you for listening. Southern Miss.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.